Get ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through His servant. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or you can email us at the Seed Sowers Ministry 18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
This morning, I want to just ask us, do we have anybody with a question based on what we raised yesterday? If not, I'd like to move on very quickly. And the question, I was expecting my time here, but not there. Any question? Thank you, Dad. Yes, there's a question there. All right. Thank you, Brother Femi. Is Brother Femi here? All right. Good morning, sir. Okay. The question he raised yesterday is what I would like to maybe continue on in the course of this sharing. I was so glad when he raised it that the last time I came, this is something I'm raising. This is something the Lord is raising with us, the issue of ensure you are following someone who follows Jesus. And I don't think I can stop raising it because of the generation we're in and the kind of experiences we've had. So in the course of this, I'll raise it all together. I used to love questions. Let's turn our Bibles to, maybe this morning the Lord will help us to read the Bible. Luke chapter 9. Let's start from verse 28. Luke chapter 9. I will read from here, from verse 28. Alright, are we there? Well, sometimes, this one is the benefit of the phone now. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Are we there now? Right. Can I read?
Yes.
And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance, you know, I was raising an issue yesterday, and many people, maybe some people, when I did a short drama, I'm a drama person, when I did a short drama there about prayer, and I told you, I've seen people pray, and I'm asking, who taught you how to pray? There has to be the way to pray. Jesus Christ taught how to pray. You don't just pray. I was quite awake today, because I was doing some studies. But before then, I was hearing some of our brethren praying, and I was so excited. I don't know which group was praying by 12, but I love the emphasis of that brother leading us in prayer, talking about scriptures. If we cannot find it in scriptures, then why are we praying? And he was raising issues from the word of God. I think he was talking about mocking the devil and bringing out the word of God. And that's the way it should be. There has to be the backing of scriptures to whatever you do. Very key. So here, we saw Jesus taking 3 of his disciples to pray. It means he wanted them to see. Very important. Your prayer life and the way you are praying, where did you learn it from? It's very important. These things look very simple, but that's the problem we are having. So people are picking prayer pattern and prayer whatever from the internet. And it's a pity to copy someone you don't know his life from the internet. It's not the way of the Bible. These things are off the track. When I go to churches or places to preach or teach, you look like, what are you saying? You are not in the trend. But I'm sharing with us to recheck these things from the word of God. My brother raised the issue of male-female issue yesterday, which I'm going to touch briefly. Now, verse 28, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, telling them there's a possibility for them to experience the same thing he's experienced. The fashion of your own countenance also can be altered. And his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him 2 men, which were Moses and Elijah. King James, we use Elijah. Where these 2 people had supernatural kind of death. If you put it that way, Moses was buried, by the Lord. Nobody knows how he died. So practically his body cannot be found. Elijah was taken by the Lord, and also nobody knows where his body would be. All kinds of theological suppositions on the two witnesses in the book of Revelation to be these two people. Well, we leave some of the details to God. But it's so significant to find these two people speaking with Jesus. And it's very, very strong. Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophet. And so these two men were conversing with Christ in prayer. Now, who appeared in glory and spake of the disease? I love Luke, the book of Luke. This is very, very interesting. Can I have verse 31 and another translation? Verse 31, another translation. I didn't know Brother Luke referenced this. Verse 31, any other translation? Nobody has found that translation? Yes? Oh. Yes, can I have another one that does not sound like King James? NLT. Now, you see, again, please, again, please.
And they were speaking of how he was about to fulfill God's plan.
How to fulfill God's plan?
By dying in Jerusalem.
You see, I was thinking that if Moses and Elijah appeared to him, there are some deep mysteries that they were supposed to be talking about. But it was very clear, if their conversation was not hard, they would not write it down. Praise the Lord. And what were they telling him? They were telling him about how dying will fulfill God's plan. I have a lot of questions, and we could raise a lot of studies from there. Was it Jesus that didn't know I was going to die and how the plan of God was not in that? Are you hearing what I'm saying? How is it that Elijah and Moses had to appear to him and they were to discuss with him about fulfilling God's plan through his death? What is this about? I wish I can pursue that, but maybe if I have time, I don't want to really pursue that. It will take me out of my context. That tells you something. Let me just draw a line. That tells you of something very, very strong. Let's marry these two things together. Moses and Elijah were talking with him about how his death will fulfill God's plan. Jesus, are you forgetting the fact that your death is going to fulfill God's plan? No, not that he forgot. You remember in Gethsemane also, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And then as he was there, the sweat was as thick as blood. The Bible talked about angels came to do what? Minister to him, strengthen him. Okay? So we are finding something about Christ here. This Moses and Elijah discussion is a strengthening. It's not that he's not aware. Now, that tells you that the death of Jesus is beyond normal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, what's there in dying that Moses and Elijah had to come and be doing discussion? Because according to that, they were telling him how God's plan, it's a reminder. It's a strengthening. It's an encouragement. I don't think Jesus Christ needs an angel to encourage him, to strengthen him. Okay, please, let's take it again. Jesus had prayed and he was sweating and it was thick. The agony was strong. Okay, why does he need an angel? I thought this is the Word made flesh. So that tells you that there is something about the death of Jesus. It's not normal. It's not natural. The agony is beyond expression. Nobody could grasp that thing called Jesus was hanging on the cross. It's too deep to express. Only, that's why Brother Paul was the one God was using to bring to us that side, that the revelation side of the cross. Because to everybody, it was just the cross. To Jesus, a Moses and Elijah must be involved in the discussion. These are people that have died and their death was glorious, and these are strong figures. They had to come. And also, he was in the flesh. Discouragement. Now, what do you think is happening to the mind of Jesus when he said, let this cup pass over me? He didn't want to die. Yes or no? Yes. He didn't want to die. If it's possible, let this thing not happen. Nevertheless, not as I will, but I will be done. So don't take the death of Jesus as a normal occurrence. It's not normal. He's huge. He's strong. And except you also die with him, you can't live with him. And the way people have treated the death of Jesus as if it's a common thing. The way the church raises the death of Jesus as if it's a common thing. And anyone who does not understand his death and is baptized together with him in his death will never experience the power of his resurrection. Not possible. And can I tell you, the implication of his death means there is nothing in this world that moves us. According to Galatians 6:14, we will have died like him to this world. Church have not experienced that death. The way we handle money. The way we handle relationship. The way we handle so many things. We have not entered into that death with him. Maybe another day. And then it came to pass in verse 33. In verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And they were awake. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. And the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus. This is the most interesting part. Jesus, our pattern. Jesus, our perfect model. Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. Please, what's the next word there? Not knowing what he said. That thing, it shocked me when I saw it this morning. So, is it possible to speak without thinking? I'm asking a question. It is. Is it possible to utter statements you don't mean? Oh, they're not talking to me. Huh? Is it possible to talk rashly? But this looks like a very strong word. Hebrew, Luke had not referenced it. That's why I say it's good to look at Luke. He said, let us build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. What was he trying to do? He was equating the three. So Peter was there. He wanted to equate Moses with Elijah. And you know the funniest thing about these two people is similar. Not funniest thing. These are great servants of Christ, of God. Moses, out of anger, grounded what? The golden calf, you remember? And gave the people to what? To do what? To drink. They were drinking metals. You remember? Do you know that? I said, you know that. All right. Was that correct? No, we are not in the rightful place to speak against God's servant. We are just privileged to look at these things. Are you following me? Was that proper? Why did they give him the law? To come and read it to them. Is that not so? But he got there out of anger, grounded it, and then gave them to drink. Elijah also, how was he calling down fire? To kill, to destroy. You remember? I said, do you remember? The people were supposed to lead where the people was destroying with fire. You remember? Now, I don't know if I've shared it here before. 450 prophets of Baal, after he called down fire, and then they also that God is the real God. Normally, friends, if 450 people saw fire, you know, if you kill one, what should the remaining 449 do? They should run away. But what do you think happened to those 450? Why did they stay? It means what they saw was strong to them. How can one prophet carry 450 and slaughter them one by one? Let me ask you. When they saw that God is God, would it have been proper for Prophet Elijah to speak and everybody will follow? Oh, you are not talking to me again. I said, do you think they will follow? Talk to me now. Will they have followed when fire came? Prophet of Baal were helpless. Will it have been possible? Anger made him do what? Hope you know before that time he has said, I'm the only one left. He has said, I'm the only one left. And then God said, don't say like that. I have what? 7,000. In what? So, Elijah was having a challenge there. Do you remember? And so he killed. You can't be also prophet. You should have taken them to your school of prophetic so that this 450 will be converted to the prophet of God. You understand that? He didn't do that. Does it shock you that immediately after killing 450 prophets, Jezebel said, may God do so to me by this time tomorrow your head does not go. And he what? I'm asking a question. A man called down fire, the next thing is running from a girl. Oh, you are not hearing me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How do you call down fire? 450 able brothers could not undo you. Now, a girl, that's how I put it. A Jezebel said he will cut off your head. And the next thing he's doing what? He's running. He's running in a very serious manner. Such that when he got to where he got to, he said, kill me now, O Lord. For what? You just killed people. You're asking for death. These are the two people who have anger issues. Are you following what I'm saying? Appearing to the lamb. Are you with me? Now, Brother Peter now said, let's build 3 tabernacles. What do you think will have happened there? There'll be a confusion. If you build 3 tabernacles, there'll be a Moses kind of mixture into the gospel. You will likely allow us reference Moses and his principles alongside with Jesus. You remember, thou shalt not marry from the foreign land, but Moses himself took an Ethiopian woman. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sister Miriam raised an issue. God was angry. Now, the problem was not that the issue was raised. The issue was how Miriam raised it. Are you following this? You know, that is another lesson there. You don't speak against leadership, even when you see the wrong. Oh, Lord. No? You don't speak against leadership. Every government or leadership is planted by God. This was the beauty about the heart of David. When David cut off the skirt of Saul, even his heart smote him. Authority is a big thing. I had to fall down on my face speaking against some pastors in Nigeria. How everybody manage or go about the grace of God upon his life is a different ball game he will face between him and the Heavenly Father. It's terrible today our brethren are going on YouTube and speaking about servants of God. Terrible. They don't know what they are cooking for their destiny. We pray for leadership. If there is a need to speak, we speak almost as it were on the floor. Because it's not about the man. It's about the authority that puts him there. So, Sister Miriam raised an issue. The raising it was not the issue, but the way he raised it was the matter. Very serious. Very strong. And then Elijah, we saw the problem. So we saw the weaknesses in these two. Nevertheless, look at the graciousness of God. Look at how they were taken. And yet, a brother said, let us build 3 tabernacles. This is where we're going. Jesus being our perfect pattern is not just an idea in the head. When you come down to scriptural convictions, listen to me. We learn from Moses. We don't follow Moses. I know ministries today. Oh God, can I go on please? Great. Now, while we raise issues, we do not attack the personalities. I'm not fit to attack personalities who are authorities. But we can, in all humility, raise certain issues with fear and trembling in our heart. And that's what I'm doing right now. You don't use Moses as the pattern of life. It's Jesus. We learn from Moses all of what is in the law. You know that's what it represents. We learn from Elijah all that the prophets, the law and the prophet, Old Testament, what it contains. We learn, we draw instances, we compare. We do not follow. Are you following what I'm saying? We do not follow. Do not compare Jesus with men. Please. Let me draw it very clearly. When we read yesterday, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The focus is Christ. The medium is men. The focus is not men. The focus is Christ. And like our brother, the Bible study secretary told us, we look at the word of God. So a follower of Christ is constantly looking at the scripture. You are an addict of the scriptures. But you see, as much as you follow the scriptures, you need be thou an example to the believers. Somebody must exemplify the things you are reading. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked that man. No, I don't. Except someone explains to me. Except someone live out the life before me. Don't equate men to Christ. Remember that scripture. I am of Paul. I'm of Apollo. Paul said, did Paul die for you? You remember the scripture? You remember the scripture? Did Apollo die for you? Paul plants, Apollo waters, but God gave the increase. In fact, some said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollo, I'm of Christ. No, 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 no. Is Christ divided? Our celebration is not, we are fans of, I hear people say, I'm a fan of social minister. No. We do not, we don't celebrate, don't, oh, no, 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 not celebrate. Don't worship men. That's the word. Don't be a clone of men. No. You are a follower of Christ. If I'm privileged by God that you follow me, like our brother Caleb is following me in discipleship, I dare not turn him into, it's not a right. He's not my slave. He's a brother I serve. He follows Christ. I am the means to reveal Christ. We are not human worshippers. We are not ministers clone. We are not ministers clique. No. Let me be very, very plain, and I will just stop this one. Let there be a passion after Christ. Please, I plead with you. When I was growing up, and I thank God as my disciple, Uncle John Lawa will reveal to me, the question we were taught, as we were taught by Brother Billy Akonde and many other great elders in the faith, Brother Zachariah Taninfomum, those are my people that I learned from Brother Zach Punen. And as I learned from these people, the question is, will Christ do what you are doing? You see, I don't know. You are leaving NYSU by the grace of God. I'm begging you. Thank God for all the brethren who have left this place. Some I'm still in touch with. The simple thing we are begging you to do, brother, sisters, will Christ do this? Will Christ take on this job? Will Christ take on this kind of business? Do you think Christ, and I'm telling you, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit witness within you that you are a child of God, Romans chapter 8. And you will discover that it's a witness deep down your inner man that tells you are doing the wrong thing. Jesus will not do this one. It looks fanatical, but I'm pleading with you. Your languages, will Christ do that? Will Christ watch the kind of things you watch on your phone? It looks simple, and that's discipleship. We build. Discipleship builds. It builds your life. I didn't know I've taught a message before. Here on discipleship, and I was listening to you this morning, myself was blessed. I see many people who say, you have ministers online that you listen to their messages, so there's nobody you submit to. Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructors, you do know what? Fathers are not many. Instructors can be 10,000. So there's no problem listening to messages. Those are instructions. Instructors. But a father is a source. The word father, Abba, is source. Somebody that is a source of inspiration. Source of your faith. Source of a calling. Source of a journey. Who is your father? That is who you call disciple. So when the Lord leads you to someone, it's because God is attaching you to a source of an order. that he's about to bring into your life. Your disciple does not know everything, but discipleship offers you everything. It doesn't mean that you are the disciple means everything that is about that disciple knows. No, no. You need instructors, but don't place instruction to over. Now you place it above who God is giving to you. God is giving to you as your spiritual father, or I would call in the right context a disciple. I wish everybody in this house has someone they are accountable to. In the context of what my brother raised yesterday, yes, a lot of people who claims, won't you come under discipleship? We get into discipleship under them and we are shocked at the kind of life they live. There are preachers who preach like me who have a different life behind the scene. Nevertheless, the scripture cannot be broken. In the family house here, there may be a brother. You love the grace of God in his life. There may be a sister. We thank God for the grace of God in her life. I peeped from the window yesterday and I saw some sisters pray. And it was a beautiful one. And I told Caleb, I said, I love it when I see young people, young ladies like this, praying and talking to the Lord. And I wish those sisters, please maximize it much more before you leave. Because the day God gives you a husband and the first child comes and your tummy is big, you will not be able to do some of the things that you do now. So maximize the opportunities you have. Submit to someone by being accountable. Don't tell me you are a state exco. Submit to someone. It's important. Listen, you can't submit under anybody. It's a sign of pride in you. There's no two way to explain it. How we were taught is, whenever you get to a place and you discover your leaders are far away, your disciple is father, Lord Jesus, who is my brother here? Who is my sister? To whom I can be accountable? That's a sign of humility. It's a sign. But you don't, this is the pattern that we see in scriptures. Now, if I began to say, okay, in the respect to this, I cast our pattern. No, that would be too long. That'd be too long. I plead with you by the mercies of God. Don't dwell on what you feed on YouTube. Many of the messages on YouTube are not complete. Yes or no? They are not. And I've seen some brethren feed on that for close to an hour or two. They are checking Apostle Arime here, 5 minutes there, 10 minutes there. They are checking Apostle Rockboy here, 5 minutes, 10 minutes there. They are checking Brock Billy, 5 minutes, 10 minutes there. They are checking Apostle Joshua Selman, 5 minutes there, 10 minutes there. Paul Enyeche, what are you doing? That's incomplete. If you see a short excerpt there that is a blessing, could you please seek for the full message? Why? So that you can take in the full dose, not an half statement. I'm pleading with you because I sense many of you will be useful to the Lord in the coming days. Many of you will be a blessing to the body of Christ in the coming days. As I round up, please, by the message of God, don't compare Jesus with Moses. There's something I had at a time, and I want to, with all humility, correct this. A brother was speaking, and he was talking about this kind of experience, and he said, there are some times we are praying, and you can have fellowship with the heavenly spirit, with spirit of just men. And I'm asking a question. Possibility of what he was saying is that, I can be speaking right now, and Paul comes in. I can be praying right now and then Elijah comes in. I can be praying right now and when he said that and then conversing with you, I asked, on what? You see, that's why I said, what was Moses and Elijah discussing with Jesus? Are you about to die also? On what will they be discussing? Go to Hebrews chapter 1. He says, God who had 300 times has spoken in the past by who? The prophet. And in these last days, choosing to talk with us through who? You see, please, don't obscure Jesus. Now, I say with all humility because I'm going to places, I'm seeing people share these kind of things, and I'm saying no. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the what? Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. If you are praying right now, post-resurrection Christians, post-resurrection, the focus is Jesus. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Who is helping you to fellowship? The Holy Spirit. And all that the Holy Spirit does is to glorify who? Christ. If you tell us that Paul came in to speak with you, and Elijah came in to speak with you, and all these people came in to speak with you, and then all they talk with you is about angels. All they talk with you about the dimensions that is there in the heavenly abode. The revelation is questionable. Only one person is exalted and glorified. Who is he? Jesus Christ. When Moses departed, did he depart? When Elijah departed, did he depart? Yes. Who remained? Jesus Christ. And when the voice came, he said what? This is my beloved son. What? Don't hear Moses. This looks strange now. I'm offending someone now. Don't hear who? Moses. Don't hear Elijah. Stop talking about tabernacles and referencing those ones. If they were the perfect example, I would let them remain. No. Jesus only is our message. Please. While you listen even to me, while you listen to instructors, learn to pray. Learn to pray for our instructors. I pray for many of God's servants, and I will never stop till I die. Why? When we begin to look at, as if to say, when I'm praying, who is the most important for me to learn? Is it Paul, Elijah, Elisha, or Jesus? If the Holy Spirit will teach me, what is he teaching me? All the things about who? Christ. Why are you referencing others? As if that's the most important. Now, and it looks this way. If I'm pressing on in the things of God so deep, I'll start conversing. Now, this was the part that touched me from that explanation that brother gave. Now, he said, sometimes you enter into a dimension in the spirit, and the Elijah dimension comes on you. Oh God, I said no. Because you have just conversed and mingled with the spirit of Elijah. And so, judgment could be vented on things. I said no. Tell me an apostle that stands out in the Bible in Revelation. What's his name? Oh, everybody's down now. Okay. I should stop, I guess. Who is the apostle that stands out in Revelation? In Revelation of Christ. Paul. Paul stands out so much. Yes or no? Oh, I say yes or no. He stands out so much. When he went to the third heaven, and he saw things and all of that. Excuse me. When he came back, do you know he himself restricted words because he was not allowed? What was it? I decided that when I come among you to know nothing except who? Christ and him crucified. Please, I'm begging you. If you talk about any revelation you have now, there are foundational apostles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every apostle today, prophets today, is under foundational apostles. The foundational apostle includes the 12 apostles of the Lamb and by grace, Paul the apostle. Are you following what I'm saying? If whatever you say does not coincide with what the foundational apostles have taught, if you are in the realm of the prophetic, we must validate what you say from those who are messianic prophets, those who have testified of Christ before you, who will not just take your words hook, line, and sinker. And if a prophet's word does not testify of Christ, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If you tell us you saw Elijah, you intermingle with him. Are you hearing me? Something strange is in the Bible. Maybe if you give space, we could share about it. Do you know Saul called up Samuel by the spirit of sorcery? Oh Lord, you are not hearing this. I will one day tell us what that means. Sorcery. Sorcery. And called up a prophet of God. Yes or no? Did Samuel converse with Saul from that medium? Yes. Don't tell us you don't, please. I'm pleading with you because I know some of you will be given grace over lies. As we leave NYC, and I thank God I'm still getting some of the report from some of our brethren. They are now doing some things for the Lord. Go and examine, please. Especially those of you who are ministers of the gospel. Please, I plead with you to do a very proper study of Acts of the Apostles and the things that the Bible reference about the testimony. The book of Revelation, which is like the book that crowns everything, given to John. Please listen. Go and start from Revelation chapter 1 verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, whom God gave to him to deliver to his servant John. And he started, I am the first and the last. I am. And all the things you saw, please, who were they referencing? Talk to me, please. Christ. That's where we are going to stop this morning. Our perfect model is Christ. Listen, I listen to preachers, and when I see, oh, this is a little bit of, it doesn't stop me from listening to the preacher. I pray for the preacher, I check. You know, Paul spoke, and the Berean Christian did what? Don't be, that's why I said, do not build tabernacles for men. Don't build it in your heart. You hear what I'm saying? Some people have built tabernacles from the minister of God. Once you are hearing that minister of God, there's nothing you check. There is no minister of the gospel, whether Brother Zach Punem, whether Brother Taninfomum, whether Brother Billy Akoni, some of the elders who had blessed me, whether Brother Shegun Ariyo, whether Apostle Arome, many of these ministers, I have no tabernacle in my heart concerning anyone. Because the Holy Spirit told me, you don't build tabernacle. You just listen to instructors. They've walked the path you have not walked. So are you telling me Brother Moses is not anointed? He is. That's an elder, sir. Ah, please don't let us go there. Are you telling me, brother, Prophet Elijah is not a servant of Christ? Don't tell me that, please. This is a servant of God. Nevertheless, don't build tabernacles for men. And it's one of the signs that makes us know that you are building tabernacles. Let us remain here. Are you following me? That's a sign that you are building tabernacles. Let us remain here. You know, no check, no observation. No, this is where we are. There's nothing else. This is the place. No. There are ministries that you hear, pastor said, pastor said, pastor said, everything pastor said, pastor said. It's okay. But that's not the pattern. In fact, it's so terrible that they said you cannot marry outside this church. There's no correct girl outside. That's not the pattern. You remember our master Jesus? Esther, we saw some people casting out demons over there, and they are not following us in discipleship. Should we go and stop them? You remember? I said, do you remember? Jesus said what? Can you echo it? Don't stop them. If they are not, he that is with me, he that gathereth with me is with me. There's a way that scripture put it. I was thinking that, you know, if I'm the one, we left all to follow you. You are the Lamb of God. You are the Messiah. Look at us. We are the real band approved by heaven itself. That's why other people are casting out demons in your name. And they're not taking that kind of sacrifice. You should go and stop them. Don't stop them. Leave them. You focus on what you're doing. Some churches say, if you don't marry in this ministry, you can't get any correct wife outside. That's not correct. Our pattern, Christ, doesn't do that. This is how we know you're building tabernacle in your heart. Here, when you play that message of that servant, you don't cross-check, no cross-checking, no opening of the Bible, no checking after, no looking at it, line upon line, precept upon precept. You will not do that. You built a tabernacle for this servant of God. All he has to say is correct. Not so, please. Not so. I have fathers in the faith that I truly honor and respect and see. Their lives have not been to me in any small measure in blessing. But look, there is no tabernacle. Prophet, are you following now? We follow Christ. Men are the mediums. We do not build tabernacles for them in our hearts. Let's build one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. No. And from today, I plead with you by the mercy of God. Anyone who wants to raise questions on what I've said should go back to the Bible. And if there is any brother, if any teacher or preacher of God who seems to talk about realms of the spirit and depth in the truth, you cannot speak without coming under the foundational apostles. No way. They are the foundations. You are laid upon the foundation of what? Apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the what? Chief cornerstone. So whatever you say must be laid on this foundation. And if you are going to be laid on that foundation, there is one thing you must reference. In these last days, God has chosen to speak only by who? His son, Jesus. That's the pattern. Let's pray. Well, this morning may look quite instructive or not too in agreement, but it's the truth. I remember sharing somewhere and I was speaking about an event and I think it's a sister or a brother was resenting me in her heart. I said, I don't talk like that. I said, it's a sign you have built a tabernacle. That's a sign you have built a tabernacle in your heart. We don't build tabernacles for men. No. If there's any servant of God who has influenced me so greatly, it is Brother Billy Akoni, but I do not build tabernacles for him in my heart because he himself taught us that. Brother Zach Punem has been of immense blessing to my life, but I do not build tabernacles for him in my heart. You know why? They taught so. A day comes where you mature in the Lord. Many people live on messages. You will know that their spiritual life is not built on any personal route in Christ. They are always listening to messages. No, there's nothing wrong with listening to me. Please, I listen a lot to it. But you see the way they live, it's like this minister. That when they are doing retreats, it's that minister. When everything is that minister, there's no personal digging. When a minister of God preaches, you learn, you write, you jot. Many people listen to messages without writing, without jotting. You just play them on the run. That's not correct. You take note when you listen to a message. I don't listen to message washing clothes. No. You take me. Would you pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be hooked deeply to Jesus. Help me to be deeply hooked to Jesus. Before our brother will come up, I want you to check deep in your spirit. A generation is getting lost because Christ is not the issue. That's why Facebook is filled with Brother Billy's fans, Brother So and So's fans. There is no personal walk with Jesus. Men are the mediums. They are not the exact. Lord help us. NCCF, you must wake up to this truth. You are the one correcting errors in the body of Christ. You are attached to several PPAs. Please, I plead with you. Let there be a new discovery of Christ. But you cannot follow Christ without following men. It's a very strong fact. You can't follow Christ without following men. Yet, you don't build tabernacles for men. You build it only for Christ. Lord, help me, Jesus. Grant me grace to be an addict of scriptures. Help me to look in between the lines. Thank you for every instructions you have given through all your servants. I do not take it for granted. Thank you for all apostles, all the prophets, all the teachers of the world, all around the country. We give you praise. We do not take it for granted. Nevertheless, help me not to build tabernacle in my heart for men, but only for you. And that's the sign you see that you build tabernacle. Let us remain here. Be here. And this is a sign you know that tabernacles are built. If somebody speaks against your so-called man of God, you are offended. No, you shouldn't be offended. That's a sign something is wrong with your heart. I've seen people spoke against Brother Billy Akoni before. It doesn't offend me. I only listen to that. Oh, what are you raising? Okay. Well, maybe you didn't understand, but well, I will check it again. And honestly, if I see something not in the Bible, I will disbelieve. But if I can see it in the Bible, I will believe. But also, from which path are you raising it? Don't raise Moses as pattern. Don't raise Elijah as pattern. They can never be our pattern. We can learn from them, not pattern. Christ, in all his essence, is our pattern. But Kenny will close for us. Fire.